Hello and welcome to the Travel Diaries podcast. I'm your host, journalist Holly Rubinstein, and here each week I'll be speaking to a very special guest about the seven chapters in their life's travel diaries. From their earliest childhood travel memory and the first place they fell in love with, to their hidden gem and what's at the top of their travel bucket list. We'll be uncovering their adventures around the world and the travel experiences and destinations that have shaped their lives. Hello everyone, how are you? Are you having a good week? I hope that you're all keeping well. It's been a really exciting week this end. So great to be back and to hear all your great feedback about Shaggy and that you're happy that the podcast is back. It's just lovely to feel that I was missed. And I missed you guys too. It's just lovely to know that we've got a few months ahead of excellent wanderlust and interviews. It's actually been a really busy week. I had a big podcast launch dinner to mark season 10. It was at a venue called The 22, which is a club in Mayfair. It's a hotel and a restaurant that anyone can stay in. And then there's like a private members club part. The decor is so cool. It's really worth popping in if you can, if you're in that part of town, to have a look. It's like maximalist and velvets and bright colours and clashing colours and just like very sumptuous. And they very kindly hosted us for a dinner, a celebratory dinner in the private dining room there. We sat on these like dark green velvety chairs that it really felt like were perfectly curated for the podcast artwork. You know, it was like very palm tree, very on brand. If you want to see any photos from it, by the way, check out my Instagram at Holly Rubinstein, because I've been sharing a lot because the photos were beautiful. I had a lovely florist do some beautiful pink flowers, lavender green flowers. Shout out to you guys, you did an amazing job. That was really exciting. And then no rest for the wicked, because the last few days I've been recording back-to-back episodes. And the last two episodes actually that I recorded were guests that I had on my like dream guest wish list from the start. So I'm so happy to have chatted to both of them, and they both lived up to my expectations, surpassed my expectations. So that's been really exciting. But my voice is feeling a little bit worse for wear. And I also said that I would fill you in on my travels to Greece last month. So I just thought I would share a little bit about that. I mentioned last week that my summer holiday this year took us to the island of Zakynthos in Greece, or Zante, as you might also know it, where I was hosted by the incredible Porto Zante Villas and Spa. So I just wanted to tell you a bit more about my stay on the island. Zakynthos is part of the Ionian Islands, which lie off the west coast of mainland Greece. They also include Corfu and Kefalonia. And what I really loved about Zakynthos, and what was unexpected actually, was how verdant it was compared to some of the other Greek islands that I visited that had been much more arid. Porto Zante kindly organised us a driving tour of the island one day, and it took us through the island's really lush interior with these emerald green landscapes going over these big mountains, all dotted with olive groves and vineyards. It was so beautiful. And the island is also known for its powder soft golden sand beaches, which truly blew me away. Some of the best beaches I've ever experienced. And if you're looking for a really special place to stay on the island that is especially accommodating for families, then I couldn't recommend Porto Zante more. It's private, it's luxurious, it sits on a private sandy beach in this stunning secluded bay, and it's a collection of private villas, each with their own heated pool and a lovely sea view. It worked so well for us because a villa setup is just great with a baby, because you have that flexibility in space, but you also have the support and amenities from a hotel, like the most incredible on-demand food, which we ate mostly under this kind of tiki topped gazebo by the pool, looking out at the Ionian Sea, framed by palm trees and bright splashes of bougainvillea and fragrant jasmine. Typical gorgeous summery scene, though actually in our case we were there in almost, I think, early autumn, but still it was stunning. It's a great late season destination to head to as well. And I could go on and on. The spa down by the beach was another really memorable experience because the windows are open. So when you have your treatments, it's accompanied by the gentle lapping of the sea. You don't need one of those Spotify spa soundtracks because you've got the real thing right there. So yeah, a big thank you to Porto Zante Villas and Spa, a destination that I thoroughly recommend if you're looking to splash out for a European vacation. And I will be sharing more about some of my forthcoming travels on future episodes. If there's anything you want to ask me, always drop me a line at Holly Rubenstein on all the social platforms, and I'd be more than happy to answer any of your questions. Right, on to today's episode. Today's very special guest is not only a seasoned sailor, but also a true legend of the high seas. She's the captain that keeps it all together on the hit TV series Below Deck Mediterranean. That's right, today we are setting sail with none other than Captain Sandy Yawn. Now, if you're a fan of the show, you already know that it chronicles the lives of the crew members who work and reside aboard a super yacht during charter season in the Mediterranean. And Captain Sandy brings more than just nautical expertise to the table. She's a force to be reckoned with a heart of gold and a personality that shines as bright as the sun over the Mediterranean. Today, we are going to delve deeper into her world, beyond the decks and the drama, to get to know more about Sandy. She has been on quite a voyage herself, a voyage of sobriety, a voyage of self-discovery, and a new voyage lies ahead as just the day before we spoke, she proposed to her girlfriend, Leah. Sandy and I had this chat in Soho in London. She was wearing her captain's uniform, sparkling white with her name embroidered in a glittery gold on the chest. And she was as charming and likable as many of you have told me that you hoped that she would be. And I also asked loads of the questions that you sent in to me on Instagram. So thank you so much for those. She really enjoyed hearing from you too. So let's get ready to embark on an adventure filled with stories of the open sea, leadership lessons from the helm, and of course, some behind the scenes secrets from the new season of Below Deck Mediterranean, which is out now. Here is Captain Sandy. Captain Sandy, welcome to the Travel Diaries. It is amazing to see you and your beautiful uniform sitting here before me. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me. And I love being in the UK.
Well, we love having you. We love having you. And I mean, before we get started with your Travel Diaries today, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. I was so nervous. But yeah, it's such a great feeling.
So, you've just got engaged.
That's right. Just got engaged. Very nervous.
You proposed?
It happened so fast. And, you know, today I feel different. I feel closer and happy. I'm happy.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Where did you do it?
On an island.
On an island. How romantic. And then what, you both just hopped on a plane and made it over to the UK?
We sure did.
Love
very
that.
Next day.
And I have to ask you, have you now been chatting about your dream honeymoon destination?
Not yet.
What are you thinking? What's
honestly,
in your mind?
I love the Florida Keys.
Me too. I got engaged in the Florida Keys in Isla Mirada.
Yes, it's beautiful, isn't it? The sand's white. It will be a tropical place.
Yeah.
For sure. Because we both love the sand and love the ocean.
Yeah. So in terms of the Florida Keys, do you have a favorite spot?
I would love to do Little Palm Island, but I don't think I can afford it.
It's one of the best hotels in America, isn't it? Yeah. Really special. And that's like a little island off the coast of the Keys, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah. And you have the deer, they swim. You see swimming deer.
Really?
Yes, and they swim up to the island. It's beautiful.
Gosh, you don't really associate that with Florida necessarily, do you, dear? Yeah. You'd think more like, alligators.
We have a lot of deer in Florida, and apparently they love to swim.
Who knew? They don't have many opportunities here in London, so we never get to see that. Well, speaking of Florida, today, Sandy, we're going to go on a journey through the 7 chapters of your life's travel diaries. Mm-hmm. And we always start at the very beginning. And chapter 1 is your earliest childhood travel memory. Of course, you grew up in Florida, but what's your earliest childhood travel memory?
I was born and raised in Bradenton, Florida, on the West Coast. And my earliest memory of course, was Walt Disney World, because they were, you know, the first park was built, the Magic Kingdom, and then the Suwannee River. So my father used to take us to the Suwannee River, which is North Florida near Tallahassee.
Tell us about the Suwannee River, because I'm sure a lot of us Brits haven't heard of it.
Up and down the Suwannee River. It's a really cool, like, it's very, it was all about nature. And we have, there's hot springs on the way, so we would stop at the hot springs and swim in the hot springs.
Oh, lovely.
And then head to the Suwannee River, where you see alligators, animals. We have black panthers in Florida, so you would see those. You would
really
see all kinds of wildlife.
It's amazing, isn't it, to think that, you know.
They're little. They're like very large cats, but they're not massive.
Mm.
The Florida panther.
Of course. Yes. Yeah, the team. And I mean, speaking of Florida, I mean, your home state, you know, it's amazing, isn't it, how you mentioned the places that you would go on holiday. They're within that state. There's so much diversity. Mm-hmm. I mean, even speaking about the Florida Keys, I mean, from the north all the way to the south.
That's right. So yes, in different parts of Florida, you have, obviously, Michigan, people from Michigan tend to migrate to southwest Florida, whereas New Yorkers and Canadians tend to come to southeast Florida, which is really interesting.
Mm.
The Florida Keys, we always had a boat. We always did the Caloosahatchee River through the Lake Okeechobee, which is Florida's water source, all the way down the intercoastal to the Florida Keys.
Mm.
And the cool part that I loved as a kid was just the wildlife. You would see alligators, crocodiles, because we also have crocodiles in Florida.
Yeah.
And panthers. You see lots of dolphins. Dolphins,
marlins,
like next to your boat. Yeah, marlins. yes, you'd see those jump. Floating. The only thing we would see floating in the water would be floating coconuts, unlike today.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a wonderful state. Also, my home state, because I have my family in Miami, so I have a very special, fond place.
Mm-hmm. I lived in Miami. I lived in Fort Lauderdale. I lived in St. Petersburg. I lived in Clearwater. So I lived practically all over Florida.
So you've had a real flavor of it.
I lived in Sarasota.
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking about Florida, you've been quite open in the past about your childhood, that there were some turbulent times. Your mother was an alcoholic, and I saw your recent post on Instagram where you talked about sobriety, that you said, you know, from jail, institutions, car crashes, motorcycle accidents, hospitals, bankruptcy, heart attack and cancer, that there were times that you felt pretty hopeless. The next chapter in your travel diaries is the place where you learned the most about yourself, chapter two. And I wondered, you know, with that context, that huge roller coaster that you've been through, was there a turning point that marked a momentous point in your sobriety or
yes,
journey to sobriety?
Absolutely. I lived in a halfway house in Fort Lauderdale called Stepping Stones.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't stay clean. I kept relapsing. They kicked me out. And then I remember going back and begging them to take me back. And the woman said I wasn't worth the paperwork.
Mm.
And I thought that was my turning point, that I wasn't worth the paperwork, because she knew that I would come back in, relapse. She would have done all this paperwork, but why bother when you're not committed? And that was my turning point. I don't know what changed. It was like this psychic change that happened. And then one day at a time, I stayed clean. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps. And my journey began into self-discovery. Self-awareness. I became less selfish and more selfless. I had to learn how to change my character. So I did a lot of character building through practices. Like, they teach you that. How do you build character? You practice. You will be presented scenarios where you get to practice, right? So a situation will arise and I get to think and pause before I speak. And that's where I change. And that's the beginning of the change. And it's just like anything. It's like if you want to run a race or a marathon, you train for a marathon. So I'm training. I was in training for life, and I still am today.
Mm.
Training for life is a constant self-awareness and correction. And that's something that we strive for. We don't strive for perfection. We strive for progress. And as long as you are progressing towards being a better human being, that's what it's all about. And that's that was that whole part of self-discovery.
That's so beautifully put and so inspiring. I asked a lot of my followers if they had questions for you. An unprecedented response. You are so very loved by especially my UK listeners here. And Phoebe, kind of following on from what you were saying there, Phoebe has asked, what advice would you tell your 20-year-old self?
At 20 years young, I was a mess. And I would say there's a brighter future if you just stop drinking and using drugs. I didn't know. I knew at that age because I was introduced to recovery at 17. But I just didn't know how to stop or stay stopped. I knew how to stop. That was easy. It was staying that way. Mm. What would I say? Just stay stopped?
Yeah.
I think I had to go through what I had to go through to get to where I am today.
Because people often say you have to reach the bottom to then work
Pink
your way back up.
Pink has a song. It says, I am here. And in her song, her lyrics, I totally relate to. I've already seen the bottom, so I have nothing to fear. That's how I feel today after I've been, you know, clean and sober a long time. And that's the journey through life. And when, at 20, I was so fear-based. I honestly... And comfortably numb, like I was just numb to everything, but also afraid.
Mm. Why do you think that was?
Because I didn't have the skill set to learn how to walk through fear.
Right.
I didn't have that skill set. I wasn't taught that. Remember, my mom was an alcoholic. I didn't have those skills when I was growing up because I was never taught them.
Do you think that that should be, I mean, we're veering away from the travel diary slightly here, but do you think that that should be part of the education curriculum, really?
Yes, absolutely.
These tools.
I think tools, to teach kids how to deal with anger, how to deal with disappointment, how to deal with if you have a parent that's struggling with addiction.
Yeah.
Where to go, what to say, who to talk to. Mm. Because you always want to protect your family and your parents. Like I remember always trying to protect my mom and making her into something in my mind that she really wasn't. And it wasn't her fault because she suffered from alcoholism.
Mm. And do you feel more sympathetic to her now having kind of been through it yourself and then come out the other side?
Absolutely. Like, yes, forgiveness is there. Forgiveness is true freedom. When you can forgive yourself first and then others, that's the key to success. That's the key to freedom is forgiveness. And I forgave my mom.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't her fault. Like, I know it was the addiction.
Yeah. And you channeled these tools and, you know, you set foot into the maritime industry and worked your way up super quickly. Was that a true sense of determination that made you rise through the ranks as quickly as you did?
Yes. I think because I was giving those tools on how to communicate, how to be able to sit in front of a very successful human being and hold my own, meaning like I didn't feel inferior or less than, that I could sit in front of that person and hold a conversation, whereas before I could not, and really be authentic and who I was and what I wanted. And I really remember I started working for someone, and very powerful human being financially in the finance world, and his wife said to me, I like you, Sandy. And I said, and I like you too. Because it's important that it's both ways. And I want to say this to your listeners. The mutual respect in the workplace is something you should expect.
Yeah, it should be a given.
That's right.
Very, very wise words. Liz has asked, is there a place that has been particularly difficult to travel to as a female captain?
I was in the Middle East. I worked for a billionaire Arab businessman. He was the second wealthiest man in Dubai.
Wow.
I remember because I had all these, you know, I had learned so much about his culture and I read books. I wanted to understand. And when I met him, he was very westernized thinking. When I went to his country, I was wowed because I wasn't what I had in my mind. Dubai's very open and, but still I stayed in my lane. I respected the culture and I didn't expect them to change because I was from a different part of the world. A lot of people think that when you go to a country that you should be honored and protected, but that's not the case. It's the job of the country is to protect their culture, their people, and to make sure they're safe. So when I travel, I make sure that I have an understanding of their culture. That's just a common respect. Mm. Learn certain words to say hello, thank you, you know, I'm sorry, you know. Learn just a few words, and that takes you so far. And that's what I did. And I just respected the culture. Yes, I had some fear. At the same time, I trusted the owner of the boat.
And do you think he learned anything from you?
Absolutely. I taught him about the three monkeys. He goes, what are the three monkeys? I go, see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. And he goes, I like these three monkeys. So yes, I taught him that because he was always concerned that the crew would say something about his guest or, you know, we sign a contract where it's confidentiality. And I said, oh, no, everyone in these crew, we all understand the three monkeys. And he totally got it. He loved it. And so I showed him the icons of we don't listen to your conversations. We don't speak what we've been told like to others. Mm-hmm. And we see nothing, only what you want us to see.
Yes. Do you think that some people, I mean, I know that you're a big advocate for, you know, females in the maritime industry. And you know, I imagine over the years you face sexism in terms of people being like, oh, you're the captain?
That's right. All the time. Absolutely. I have to say, I'm going to go back to the gentleman in Dubai. I had the utmost respect from him and his friends. They respected me. They didn't see me as a woman. They saw me as a captain, as a professional.
Yes.
And that was such a breath of fresh air because other parts of the world, they see me as a woman.
First,
driving a boat. I love that he saw me as his professional captain. There was no gender attached. If that could happen throughout society in the workplace, we'd be much further along.
Completely. That is something that I think a lot of us will reflect on after this interview. And I mean, what kind of changes do you want to see within your industry?
Honestly, that. I would love to see more women at the helm, you know, steering vessels out to sea. And I want to say this is a misconception. The men in the industry are they embrace women at the helm. The difference is women want to stay home and have babies. They want to raise families. They don't want to go to sea. I don't know why it's easy for men to leave home when they have children. That's such an interesting thought. However, women choose to stay home. But also, I think our TV show's done a lot for women.
Oh, yeah.
And says, hey, if you don't really, you know, your first 10 years out of college or even out of school, even if you don't finish school, you could go to sea. You could be a captain.
Yeah.
And then the industry offers so many more jobs than just going to sea. Sales, charter brokers, you know, shipyards. You have electricians, plumbers, carpenters. They make 20% more in a shipyard than you do on land.
Has there been any feedback? Like, has the maritime industry seen a kind of boost of...
Huge.
Really? Because
That's
of
right.
the show?
Huge. During COVID, I think everyone's... just spent the college fund money and bought boats because you could not buy a boat.
Yeah.
The build schedule for some shipyards are 14 years out. Like if you want to go build a boat, like you got to wait 14 years.
Yeah.
How's that possible?
Well, I love that. I love that it's seen a tangible effect on the industry that you care about.
And more people are chartering because of our TV show.
Yeah.
Like they go, I've never knew there was like these places in Croatia. All the places we've been, people are going to Malta because of our show.
It's opening people's minds to different destinations without question. So we move on now to chapter 3 of your travel diary, Sandy. And that is the first place you fell in love with.
Barcelona.
Really? Mm-hmm. So what was it about you that captivated you?
First of all, Columbus left from Spain. Okay. So Spain, for me, Spain is... a home. It was like my second home. I was based there for 4 years.
Right.
And it's Barcelona's a city that people go to and they never leave. It is such an incredible city. The history there, the artists that are from Spain and Barcelona in particular. Mm. I had such a beautiful experience. It was the first. So my first place I ever went to when I came to the Mediterranean was Ibiza First, we went to Palma, but I wasn't there very long. And then we went to Ibiza.
The Balearic Islands, side or the like beautiful side?
The beautiful side. The Balearic Islands are phenomenal. Menorca, yeah. Mallorca, and Ibiza.
Yeah.
They're absolutely beautiful. I was based in Barcelona. So yes, I fell in love with Barcelona.
And so did you live in Barcelona when you were based in Spain?
I did, yes, in Marina Port Vey. I lived in that marina, which is in Barceloneta, next to MB92, Marina Barcelona.
Where there are some epic boats, aren't there?
Totally. Yeah, it's like
some really big ones.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And the history there, the restaurants, the food is incredible. I love it today. Like, I love their Iberico ham. Like, it's so delicious.
Yeah. What I love about Barcelona is that it's a bit like Miami in that it's like a city with a beach. And I think those are just so special to have all the architecture and the history and then also have a beach.
Yeah.
Do you remember any favorite spots that you'd go to again and again, like bars, restaurants, cafes?
You know, I love the Barceloneta restaurant, which is in Barceloneta.
Yeah.
It is the best restaurant.
The seafood restaurant?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, upstairs?
Yes.
And it's like right at the marina, but it is fabulous. Like that restaurant is my favorite restaurant.
And so many people, when they go to Barcelona, might just stay in like the area nearer, like the Sagrada Familia, slightly further north. But to actually make sure that you get down to the water is really important because you get to see like both sides of the city.
That's right. So So Barceloneta, the town, is an old fishing village.
Yeah.
And every morning you would smell the bakeries. Like they wake up so early and bake the breads and the croissants. And I just love it.
And a contrast to Florida? I mean, did you feel like some similarities?
Not at all. Not even close. I think Florida is so tropical and very different beaches. Florida has some of the most beautiful beaches in the world. Siesta Key had the whitest sand. They were nominated year after year of the whitest sand in the world. You can't, like I always say, like I've visited Greece and other places, but the Florida coast, especially the West Coast, is stunning.
I've not really visited the West Coast very much. Where would I go on the West Coast? What would you recommend?
You know, Naples.
Naples.
South, like Naples or Sarasota. That's where Siesta Key, Lido Beach, you have all those beautiful beaches. Sarasota is beautiful. I was just in St. Petersburg at the Don Cesar. Great location, honestly. The hotel is iconic. The history of that hotel is really incredible, and the beach is spectacular. So go there. Go to St. Petersburg, Florida, and stay at the Don Cesar.
Great, great recommendation. And so we're in the chapter about falling in love. Of course, we all fell in love with you on Below Deck. That's what we're here to chat about today. So, I mean, how did it all come about? Like, what is the story about you becoming a TV star? Like, how did it all happen?
I got a phone call. Someone said, hey, we're from Below Deck Mediterranean or Below Deck's franchise. We'd love, it was through a friend, like an acquaintance who knew the showrunner and the show, she connected us and we didn't talk on the phone. We texted. And then it was, I think we finally spoke on the phone and then she went silent. So I thought, oh, guess it's not happening.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, my phone's like blowing up. I'd say about 2 months later.
And the rest was history.
Yes. And then I went to New York, I met everyone, and I remember when I got, because all my industry people were like, don't do it. My friends were like, it's going to ruin your career. I thought, yeah, you're probably right, but it kind of landed in my lap. I never thought about TV. I didn't even think about TV. I never watched the show. I had heard about it, but I never watched it. And
well, you're not going into the maritime industry thinking that you're going to be like a celebrity necessarily,
but
are you?
It didn't register it was TV in my mind.
Right.
I don't know what I was thinking. So when I went.
What, the opportunity, you mean?
Yes. I just thought, I didn't think it was as big as it was.
Right.
I don't know. I just didn't watch it.
Maybe
so
that was
no
a
idea.
Good thing.
Yeah. So I went to New York and then I met 30 Rock, where Saturday Night Live is filmed and all these shows. And I'm like, oh, this is like TV.
Real TV, you know? TV,
so I remember walking out going, wow. And I went to see a movie by myself.
After the meeting?
Yes.
And why did you do that? What do you think?
Because I needed to be alone.
And were you concentrating on the movie or were you actually like running through?
No, I was actually watching the movie.
What was it?
It was the Star Trek movie because I love Star Trek.
Different kind of captain of a ship.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's so brilliant. And, you know, I mean, probably a silly question, but like, are you glad that you went down this path?
Absolutely. For me, it's about, remember the chapter one and chapter two. Yeah. So that part of my life has really reached millions of people.
Yes.
And if I can implement some kind of hope for someone just by being on TV and talking about my personal experience, that's the best part of this. Yes,
the platform.
It's fun. Yes, the platform. It's fun meeting the crew, the guests. I love driving boats. That'll never stop. Even if the TV show stops for me, I will still be a captain.
Yeah.
That's my career. But I love inspiring people.
That's lovely. And have you imparted that also to your crews, do you think, as well as like your, obviously your wider audience? I know that they, you know, you're like the maternal kind of wise figure for them.
Yes, absolutely. Like if the crew are very interested in this career in the maritime industry, they have me.
Yeah.
1000%. If they're there just for TV, that's on them. Because I don't know how to help that part because I'm not an actor.
Yes.
I'm a captain. Yeah. I know the maritime industry. I don't know TV.
And when you start each season, do you, are you in your head like sussing out they're for real, they're here to get on TV?
You know, like, how you can see the camera never lies?
Yes.
You could tell who was there for TV and who was there for a real career.
Right.
Your eyeballs don't lie either. Yeah. Or the energy of the person. And you can tell. And what's sad for me is watching the people who are very successful in TV, who are just lucky to be there, and then next thing you know, they become, it gets in their head and they become this egomaniac, and it's like, come back down to the ground. What I want to say, my friends, my family, pull my feet right down and they nail it to the ground. And they say to me, the captain is not here. We want Sandy. And it's not so much for the TV. It's that when these are off, sometimes I forget. And so I'm in charge. And they're like, you're not in charge here.
Do you have that dynamic with
dishes.
Your fiance?
Yes, sometimes she says, don't speak to me like a captain.
So chapter four, Sandy, is your all-time favorite destination. This is the big chapter, the hardest chapter. For you, though, I was interested to ask, do you have an all-time favorite on dry land and then also an all-time favorite from the water?
All-time favorite place, location?
Yeah.
I love Florida. I love the beaches, so I'm never going to change there. Like, I love the Bahamas. Like, if I, you know, the Bahamas is a two-hour boat ride from Florida. So that area for me is where I learned boating, is Florida and the Bahamas. Those are my two favorite places on this planet. And on land would be, I love skiing. I love Aspen. I love Colorado.
I don't think I expected you to say something in the mountains.
Yes.
Yes. But nice contrast.
Yes.
So US, have you been to any of the European ski resorts yet?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Most of them. I was based in the Med. Absolutely. Yeah. The Dolomites, the French Alps, the Swiss Alps. I've done St. Moritz. I did the Pyrenees. I've done Andorra. The French border, yes.
Really all of them, comprehensively.
Because, you know, I was based in Spain. I was based in Europe for 13 years.
So you're an honorary European, basically.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And how do you think the U.S. skiing compares to European?
No place like Colorado.
Mm.
There's no, like, I've done the
you
Northeast.
You live in Colorado now, right?
Yes.
Yes.
But I've done the Northeast in the U.S. It's a very, like, damp snow, but Colorado has a powder and a dryness. But the sun shines every day.
Yes.
So when you could actually take your jacket off and ski. Spring skiing, the snow's powder. They have the best snow, in my opinion. And I love Aspen because there's four mountains. You can ski four different mountains.
So there's that variety.
And they have a bus system that everybody should implement into their system because the billionaires ride the bus. That's how efficient the buses are.
Right.
You never have to drive.
Yes.
And there's four mountains. You do Highlands, you do Ajax, Highlands, Buttermilk, and Snowmass.
Hmm. I think Denver is also like one of the most underrated cities, like for Europeans, you know, in terms of it being on like a holiday radar. I love it. The food scene's so cool. The landscape is so beautiful. It's so easy to get into the wider Colorado landscape. Yeah. It's such a great city, isn't it?
Yes. They have a beautiful drive. If in the summer, it's closed in the winter. It's called Independence Pass. And if you're ever there in the summer, drive from Denver, take Independence Pass, and go to Aspen. It's the most beautiful road you'll ever drive on. And I've driven on a lot of roads.
Well, that is a great tip. Is it one that you do in a day? Do you stop off?
Oh, it's in a day.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll stop at the top of Independence Pass.
Yeah.
And the view is spectacular.
Yeah. We went to Ouray, which was, again, in the mountains. Yeah. And it was just so, so cool. The kind of heritage as well of like the history of the buildings. Yes. I really love in those mountain Colorado towns.
Yeah, and the gold mines and the... You know, coal mines and it's kind of spooky. And I love ghost tours, so it's really funny. You know, Stephen King wrote The Shining. He was inspired at this one hotel in Estes Park.
Fantastic.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's episode is supported by Airbnb. And what a great partnership. If you're a longtime listener of the Travel Diaries, you probably know that we love to put our home on Airbnb when we're traveling. Like last autumn when we took the family to Puglia, we put our house on Airbnb when otherwise it would just be sitting empty, which meant that we earned some extra money that went towards our flights and maybe some souvenirs too. Hosting on Airbnb for us is also a family affair. My mum is an Airbnb superhost. She regularly has guests stay in her little chalet in her garden. And my dad, who lives in France, has his home on Airbnb so that when he comes back to visit, he is earning some extra money while he's away. My dad is 80 and he only started hosting on Airbnb a couple of years ago. So hopefully that shows you how straightforward the whole experience is. He found it so easy to list his house that I think he's got all his pals signing up now too. And it really is straightforward. You can choose whether you want to rent out your entire home or just some rooms. Alex and I, for example, list our spare bedroom and that works really well for us. So if you have a trip coming up and you want to earn some extra money while you're away, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.co.uk/host. That's airbnb.co.uk/host. Thank you to Airbnb.
Well, we move on to chapter 5, and that is your hidden gem, which is a place that you love that maybe my listeners wouldn't know so much about. And I was thinking that you have had access to so many hidden gems because by boat you get to see so many places that you can't access in any other way.
I have it. Staniel Key.
Where's that? Tell me.
It's in the Exuma Islands in the Bahamas.
Oh.
And that's where Thunderball Cave is. So remember the James Bond movie, Thunderball?
Yes.
It was filmed in that cave.
It was actually filmed there.
Yes. And when you can swim into that cave at low tide, there's fish everywhere, so you can't be scared of fish. And when you go in that cave, it has a hole in it. So it's this beautiful blue water, and there's a shelf, like a shelf inside the cave you can sit on. A lot of people jump through the middle. I don't recommend it because if you don't jump perfectly, you could get scratched up. But then there's this picturesque window. So you dive under the water. You hold, you know, it's probably about 10 feet below the surface. But you could see the bottom because mm-hmm. it's so clear.
Yeah.
And you go through that cave, the window cave, and you look down and it's a wall dive. It's absolutely beautiful.
Oh my
gosh.
And
then right next to that is called Big Major Spot, is where the swimming pigs are.
Oh, right. The famous swimming pigs.
Yes.
So I've always been curious about those swimming pigs because it looks incredible and so fun. But I've also heard that there's a lot of poop flying around as well in the water.
Well, I don't remember that, but I do know that I went and swim in the water with them. So basically you take your tender, and I'll never forget, I had a client on the boat, and Bianca, she's actually from the UK. She was helping me on a charter, and I'm like, get out of the boat, get out of the boat, because I knew the pigs were going to try to get in the boat because they're little tenders.
In the boat.
So she goes, you cared more about me than the client. I go, of course. So she gets out of the boat, and then the woman has food in her hand, and she puts it behind her hand, and the pig bit her cheek, her butt cheek. And her husband started cracking up laughing. And that was a big bite. So don't carry food in your hands if you go there.
Top tip for the harvest holiday.
Get out of the tender immediately and just walk to the beach. And then when you walk to the beach, there's all these iguanas on the beach.
The wildlife in the Bahamas, it sounds absolutely phenomenal. And I know that you spent quite a lot of the early part of your career in the Bahamas area. So we've got the Exumas. What are some of the other spots that you really loved when you were working there?
Treasure Key. I mean, it's there. Any island you go to in the Bahamas, it's special. I was there before Atlantis was built, the hotel.
Right.
It was.
Is that on Treasure Key?
No, that's actually Paradise Island.
Right.
Which is in Nassau. And
so you mean before it was like really turned into a big tourist destination?
Yes. And it was pretty spectacular. It is now, obviously. But there's so many different places to go. West End, Bahamas, which is Freeport. But on the other side, Port Lucaya is beautiful. There are these special places.
And are they places that you really need to be on a boat to enjoy?
Well, you could go by plane. And the beaches are spectacular. So, yes, you would land in Freeport and you could drive to Port Lucaya. Grand Bahama Island is the name of the island.
Okay.
Then you have the Abacos, and that's where Treasure Key is. It's absolutely beautiful.
There's so much to see there. Mm-hmm. And it covers quite a broad.
Yes, because everyone says Caribbean. But in the Bahamas is part of the Caribbean. However, like Turks and Caicos, people go there all the time. Long Island, Bahamas, absolutely beautiful. There's so many different places to go. And there's a chain of islands, 365 islands in the Exumas.
Just there in the Exumas themselves as a part of the broader Bahamas.
That's right.
So there is a lot to discover. And you must have seen so many hidden gems going around. Yeah,
absolutely. Everywhere you go, you're like, wow.
Yeah. To be in that environment every day must be so nourishing for the soul.
Yes.
We're going back to one of my listener questions now. Rebecca says that she would love to travel more by boat, but she wouldn't have the budget for a yacht. Do you have any advice for her?
Absolutely. You don't have to charter a yacht. You can charter a catamaran. There's bare boat charters where you go down to the Bahamas, the Keys, the Florida Keys. You could charter a little boat with a captain. It doesn't have to be. You could charter a boat for $700, you know, for the afternoon, or $400.
Yeah.
Like, there are possibilities that aren't on super yachts or yachts.
And is there a good place for Rebecca to maybe dip her toe in the water of one of these kind of entry levels?
The Florida Keys or the Bahamas. You don't have to go far. It's, you know, you can stay on the mainland and do it. Or even the south of France, like anywhere there, Spain, they have these day charter boats.
Mm. What's been your favorite day charter route? One that you can, you know, see a great deal in, but, you know, you're not going overnight.
I mean, the Côte d'Azur. You know, so, I mean, it's pretty spectacular. So,
is there like a start and an end point that you love?
Well, you can pick it up in Cannes, you know, and cruise to Saint-Tropez, you know, Antibes, like all these places. You could go to Monaco. And then in America, it's like Miami, your town.
Yeah.
Key Biscayne.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, there's a place called, you go through Key Biscayne, and the first key, it's in Key Largo. Alabama Jacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's on the water, right?
Yes.
It's like this place. You're just like, are you kidding me right now? But it's so cool because they have a live band. You can go by boat. You can go through Key Biscayne. You head through the Keys. And it's called Alabama Jacks. And it's on that bridge, Card Sound Road. And it has that bridge that you go over. And you see all these motorcycles lined up and all these cars.
Ready to go. That is a great tip. And actually, I actually had one of my first boat experiences, speaking to Rebecca here, in Miami. And actually, I used Airbnb experiences, which I hadn't used before, because I was staying in an Airbnb while I was there. And it was like a kind of guided, captained tour, like around Star Island and seeing all the kind of touristy parts on the water there. But I suppose that was very affordable to get your experience of going out on a boat. That kind of thing is also like, yes, a kind of little tour.
That's
is,
right.
is a nice way to yes. get the experience of feeling the wind in your
yes.
wind in your hair. There's yes. nothing like it, is there? So our penultimate chapter is chapter 6, and that is your worst travel experience or the place that you would never go back to.
I don't want to say this, but you're not going to like this. And it was at Heathrow.
At Heathrow.
Do you remember right. when the British Airways? It was actually, I was coming over for the Cannes Lion Festival with Bravo, NBC, Universal. And everybody's luggage was lost. All the flights were canceled. I'm not sure what was happening, but it took hours. And I said to Leah, let's don't stand in this line. Let's go out. Let's get our luggage and let's come back in.
Yeah.
One thing I've learned, and this is a great tip for your listeners, when you have that situation and the line is so long, go outside the airport and come and then talk to the agent on the outside because the line isn't so long, and then come back through security.
So what, you leave the app?
Get your luggage.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're not going to keep your luggage. So
right.
we went to the luggage counter and said, where's our luggage? We're leaving, right? We're just going to stay in London. We yeah. grabbed our luggage.
Yeah.
Then we went back outside and then we went up to the agent to sort our flight. We had to stay the night because all the flights were canceled.
A very good tip indeed. And I did wonder, you know, as somebody who is myself slightly prone to motion sickness, do you ever get seasick when you're on these charters?
No, I've never been seasick.
Never. So for me certainly, when I'm on a boat, when I then get onto the dry land, it feels like I'm still on a boat.
That happens to me as well.
Yeah. And do you find that hard to adjust to?
That's called your sea legs.
Yeah.
So you need your land legs.
Right. You're like, come on, land legs, come into action. When I'm watching below deck, the thing that blows my mind is the crew, you know, they come on to dry land basically to just get absolutely plastered.
Yes.
And I'm like, I can't think of anything worse than being super drunk and then getting onto
this.
A boat, having to adjust yes. back to your sea legs.
Yes.
Doesn't it just like amplify how kind of woozy they must feel?
I think they just never they always have their sea legs because of the alcohol consumption.
Right.
So when they go back on board, they never have to adjust to land. You know what I mean? It's like, but I think you're mentally, it's all about the inner ear and that crystal, right? That's in your inner ear.
Mm.
So if that's in balance, then you are in balance with the motion. And I think I think a lot of people at sea, that crystal is in balance.
Right.
And you're able to balance with the boat. I don't know how, I just know that one time my mom hit her head. We were on a Harry Potter ride at Disney World, and her head in it, but moved the crystal, and she was having a hard time balancing. And
she had
to like do these exercises,
really,
where she held her head sideways, and it was fascinating. And I was like, wow. And that's when it hit me. That's why.
So you need to protect your head to make
yes,
sure that you do not disrupt that crystal, because it's pretty important for your
it's
job.
It's very important.
So when there are like these big storms and you see these huge waves and stuff, it doesn't really intimidate you from like a physical point of view. You're not going to be seasick.
No, I'm not seasick.
Thank God.
Yes.
That
no.
is so good.
And then I try not to go into those big waves and big storms. Like that's something we...
Yeah, you're trying to avoid
yes,
those.
Yes, of course. I go, I'm sorry, we can't leave the dock. And then you just have to look out through your binoculars. And here's a great way to see if the sea's rough. If you look at the horizon where the sky meets the ocean or the sea,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like a bunch of elephants holding onto each other's tail, walking across the horizon, don't go to sea.
Good tip.
It looks
got
like
the three monkeys and then the elephants.
Yes.
Right, I got these
Don't
now.
Go to sea. Stay at the dock.
Right, noted. Right, we are about to come on to the final chapter of your travel diary, Sandy. But before we do, I'd love to hear about this new season of Below Deck. What can you share with us that we can expect this time around?
First of all, Italy is spectacular. Like, I've boated there for years. I love Portofino. It is really cool to be able to back that boat down in that little marina.
It's a tight one, right?
It's very tight. And it's beautiful. It's colorful. And the food and the experiences. I just think, and the Italians are very happy. They're a happy culture, right? It's everything, si, va bene, si. You know, everything's like yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a yes without getting things done, but it's a yes. So
it comes from a good place. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think the crew, you'll see me get angry in the trailer. I wonder who that's for. So I do get mad.
Right.
At a crew member. And you'll see that maybe a couple crew members. Other than that, I think you're going to really enjoy it because all I heard was a lot of laughter and maybe some tears. I think I did hear some crying. But I heard more laughter.
Which is the perfect balance for a season coming up. We can't wait. Sandy, it has been so lovely chatting to you and hearing your travel diaries. The final chapter is chapter 7, and that is the destination that is at the top of your travel bucket list.
Alaska. I've never been. I want to go.
What is it about it?
I want to see Alaska before it melts. That's a place I want to see.
By boat?
By boat.
Wonderful.
I want to see the orca whales. I want to see the sea life.
Well, I hope that you make it there very soon. Thank you so much, Captain Sandy. Those were your travel diaries.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it was so nice to chat to Captain Sandy Yawn. You can catch her on the brand new season of Below Deck Mediterranean on HeyU. Thanks so much for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from the podcast, don't forget to hit subscribe, or if you use Apple Podcasts, to press follow so that a new episode lands in your podcast app each week. If you want to be the first to find out who is joining me on next week's episode, come and follow me on Instagram. I'm at Holly Rubenstein, and you'll also find me on Threads and TikTok. I'd love to hear from you. And if you can't wait until next week, remember, there's the first 9 seasons to catch up on. That's over 100 episodes to keep you busy there. Don't forget that all the destinations mentioned by my guests are included in the episode show notes here on your podcast app, and listed on my website, thetraveldiariespodcast.com. Thanks again, everyone. Take care, and I'll be back next week. Today's episode is supported by Airbnb, and what a great partnership. If you're a longtime listener of the Travel Diaries, you probably know that we love to put our home on Airbnb when we're traveling. Like last autumn when we took the family to Puglia, we put our house on Airbnb when otherwise it would just be sitting empty, which meant that we earned some extra money that went towards our flights and maybe some souvenirs too. Hosting on Airbnb for us is also a family affair. My mum is an Airbnb superhost. She regularly has guests stay in her little chalet in her garden. And my dad, who lives in France, has his home on Airbnb so that when he comes back to visit, he is earning some extra money while he's away. My dad is 80 and he only started hosting on Airbnb a couple of years ago. So hopefully that shows you how straightforward the whole experience is. He found it so easy to list his house that I think he's got all his pals signing up now too. And it really is straightforward. You can choose whether you want to rent out your entire home or just some rooms. Alex and I, for example, list our spare bedroom, and that works really well for us. So if you have a trip coming up and you want to earn some extra money while you're away, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.co.uk/host. That's airbnb.co.uk/host. Thank you to Airbnb.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.